And welcome back to Coast as we continue to monitor the situation in Dallas. Reportedly now 5 police officers have been shot, 6 others wounded. Steve Gregory, of course, is with our affiliate KFI in Los Angeles. He is in Colorado. He is near our affiliate KCSJ 590 in Pueblo, Colorado. Steve, what are you picking up out that way?
George, good evening. It's good to talk to you. I'm out here visiting my parents, and of course, I'm glued to the newscast, television, radio, listening to you, of course, and figuring out exactly how on earth this could have happened. I mean, this is just a tragic situation all around.
It's very, very sad. It's tense all around the nation, and one of the things that I am pleading with people worldwide, Steve, is to merely stay calm. That's so important.
But absolutely. And what really makes this thing so disturbing, George, is the fact that this was an ambush. This was a calculated ambush. This was not a random, this was not a spontaneous act. And according to the Dallas police chief, and we're looking at least 4 shooters, at least 2 that they know of, possibly 4, and possibly more. So this was a very calculated event. And I know Dallas police, much like other major police agencies across the country, when they know there's a protest or any kind of a static event or a march, the thing that they're doing now is they're monitoring social media to get any kind of a hint, any kind of a red flag that something might go sideways, or if there's any kind of a call to action to do something violent or do something against officers. Police agencies are constantly doing this. Now, Dallas police had absolutely no hint whatsoever.
Nothing.
There was something planned.
They kept this one secret. And they put it together relatively fast, did they not?
Yes, not only relatively fast, and here's the other thing that's very, very disturbing about this, is that Dallas police, as far as everyone knows, there was really not an issue between Dallas police and the African-American community. This, and nothing happened in Dallas recently. I mean, the 2 shootings that everyone is talking about now, you know, Louisiana and Minnesota, and nothing really happened in Dallas, per se. And for this to come together so quickly and use assault weapons, those are the really, really big sticking points here.
You got it. Stephen, thank you. Enjoy your parents' day, of course, and then get back to L.A. as safely as you can. We've got more breaking news with Taylor Ballard, of course, for iHeart's news 24/7 news service. Taylor, you have some more information for us.
Yes, one of the officers who was killed in the attack is being identified. Dallas Area Rapid Transit released the identity of Officer Brett Thompson a few minutes ago. He has been on the force for about 7 years. He joined in 2009. He is the first DART police officer ever to be killed in the line of duty. 4 other Dallas police officers were also shot to death when at least 2 snipers started opening fire at the end of a march against police violence. 6 others were injured, and 3 people are in custody. There is 1 person who is still holed up in a garage of a community college near this, actually where they think the shooting happened, where they think the snipers were. Even though flashbangs were thrown trying to get him out, negotiations are apparently still ongoing. This person claims to have bombs all across downtown and is refusing to surrender.
All right, Taylor, thank you for that update. Taylor Millard staying with us all night long, updating all of us on the situation in Dallas, Texas. When we come back in a moment, Peter Bregan, our resident psychiatrist, joins us. We're going to talk about the mindset of people with Peter, and we'll get to your calls as well on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm going to take a few of our calls from people who have been on hold for an hour, then we'll go to Peter Bregan for the rest of this half hour. Church is in Las Vegas, west of the Rockies. Hi, Church. Thanks for hanging in there so long.
Hey, how you doing, George? No problem.
Good. So what do you think?
Well, first I would like to say that I feel like it's very upsetting, everything that's happened. And I feel like somebody's trying to take an eye for an eye, which I feel like would leave just a blind nation.
You're right about that.
It's my opinion. But I would also like to say, and I don't want to take anything away from Black Lives and their movement, but Last year, there was 1,000-plus deaths in the United States, and 500-plus of those deaths were white people. And yesterday alone, there was a 19-year-old white teen who was killed by Fresno Police Department while he was pulled over in a traffic stop and lying on the floor and was shot point blank. Now, I feel like the media only points out the racial issues because it makes them better media, which I feel like is what they're trying to do is just pull our nation apart. They're trying to cause an issue within our nation with race. So my question, I have a question. My question to you is, do you feel like that maybe somebody was behind these sniper shootings to kind of conjure up or stir up something that is bigger?
Church, I can't speculate on that at this point, but I can't rule that out either. That is one of the things that I was thinking about tonight when this story was unfolding, is whether these organized type people, maybe commandos, were set up, were financed, were coerced to do this by a different group or some other individuals. We're going to have to wait and see if that unfolds. I don't want to speculate on this at this point. It would be inappropriate for me to do that, but it is that possibility, and it is something that we should think about as this unfolds, to be sure. Now let's go to Dr. Peter Breggin, who's with us, of course, our resident psychiatrist. And Peter, I got to ask you through the minds of a psychiatrist, how do people cope? How do people, the general population, Peter, cope with this situation as they see these tragedies occurring every other day almost?
Well, I think, first of all, we do need to feel sadness. You know, the antidote to rage in this situation, and in some ways even to fear and anxiety, is to feel the sadness. This is a kind of a deep wound that the country's experienced. Another thing I think that we can focus on outside ourselves, which is one of the best ways to marshal our sanity, is some of the things that haven't been maybe talked about enough. We really need to realize not our vulnerability, which is relatively minor as individual citizens, but the vulnerability of our police officers.
Yes.
You know, there's been some talk today about this being, you know, the worst tragedy in the history of the police. And I think that some police people, if they were on, would probably like to know, to tell folks, well, you know, we're always in jeopardy. In 9/11, we lost 71 officers, 23 from the New York City Department. The Oklahoma bombing, we lost 8 federal officers, including 4 Secret Service. There's numerous examples in our history of 4 to 8 policemen being killed, sometimes directly targeted, as in Puerto Rico earlier in the last century when the police establishment there was attacked. So I want to emphasize that the folks now who are really have a right to be scared are not you and me and most of us who are listening, but our police officers. And they really need our support. And we really need to treat them as we do our military, thanking them for their service, showing appreciation for them. In my town of Ithaca a few months ago, my wife and I happened to come on 2 young officers in a pizza place, and I thanked them for their service. I mean, they acted like no one had ever said that to them. They asked to sit down.
Well, a lot of people don't do that, Peter. You're right.
So I think that's one of the things I'd like to give to your audience and our audience tonight, is to think about the vulnerability of police officers, and they need our support. And that's, for me, one of the best ways not to be anxious and upset is to think about what other people need.
Well, the earlier caller, Peter, said something pretty poignant, and that was we should not be going for an eye for an eye. We don't know exactly what had happened in Louisiana, in Minnesota, which was a catalyst for the protests. The video, of course, is the video, but you know, sometimes need to be there to see exactly what happened. But there have been some cases. There's no question that police have been overzealous. The case last year with the individual who got out of his car and started running away from police, and the officer chased him down and shot him to death. I mean, that to me was a killing, was a murder. That officer will be prosecuted and maybe convicted and put away. It's tense out there these days.
Yeah, but you know, I would like to add the other side to that, which is that no group need the police more than the poor in the inner cities.
I agree. The crime on the folks in the inner cities, the murders on the people in the inner cities, yeah, is abominably high.
Yeah, and I want to add that emphasis too tonight, that we don't want this horrendous tragedy to separate further the police from the black community, because the police, due to many different things, are feeling more and more ill at ease in their jobs, particularly in the urban centers. And I hope that the black community and the police can somehow use this terrible wound to bring them together, that their all their lives matter, and including the police, because we forget what the threat is to police officers in the country.
Well, I hope the people they have in custody to date are telling them exactly what police need to know about how they planned this, when they planned this, why they planned this, and whether this was organized by a different group or just some individuals who just, wanted to take these matters into their own hands.
Yeah, commenting on what their mental state is, of course, is difficult at this point. But I don't think this is going to turn out to be people who are deeply emotionally disturbed and acting randomly. I think we're going to see that these people are ideologically driven. I have no idea whether they're driven by domestic issues in this country.
Well, we'll find out. Hold on for a second, Peter. I have a breaking news with Taylor Millard, who's back with us from iHeart's 24/7 news operation. Taylor, what do we have?
Well, we have a report that the final suspect who was holed up in the garage, in the parking garage, right by really where the shooting happened, has shot himself. We've heard that he's down. Dallas police are obviously not releasing a ton of information, but there are reports which have said that he has shot himself. It is not known if he is alive or dead, but police are trying to, get this all figured out, and they will release more information as soon as they can. But right now it looks like the person who was in the parking garage held police at bay for multiple hours through the night, has shot himself or has been shot and is now considered down.
All right, Taylor, thank you. We'll look for more updates from you. Taylor Millard from the iHeart News 24/7 breaking news section there. Back to Peter Bregan. We'll get to your calls as well, so hang in there, especially you, Mike, from Ohio. You've been on there for a long, long time. Peter, the mindset of somebody who is a chicken and kills himself. Why does he do that?
Well,
I don't see any heroism there at all in a murderer, a despicable person like that. But why do they take their own life on?
Well, I think if they don't want to face the consequences, not so much of what they've done, because these folks believe in what they do. And when it's disorganized, these people believe in what they do.
You think they go into it saying, if I'm caught or trapped, I'm going to kill myself?
Yeah, I think that's probably often the case. It's a part of the plan. They don't want to be...
It's their out.
...trapped. And they don't want to have to give away information. And I'm not sure it's so much cowardice as dogmatism and determination, like a suicide bomber. And we've got to deal with the ideologies that are driving this. And I do think this might very likely be something that is not necessarily driven by religious extremism. It may be
we don't know that
racial extremism.
Well, we don't know that. But I'll tell you one thing, Peter. I'm not going to martyr them. To me, they're losers, and
they're evil
people, despicable.
They're evil.
Let's go to Mike in Ohio. Go ahead, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, George. Let me just say that my thoughts and prayers go out to the families involved.
Thank you, Mike. Well said.
Incident down there, and something controversial, but hopefully you can have your patience to deal with me. That you know my views on capital punishment. I believe that they should build a gallows on the site of those slain officers.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
If the evidence proves I'm guilty.
Yes. Well said there too.
Seeing that, I feel that these local communities, I've been wanting to say this since Ferguson, these local communities should opt out of the classification in the 1934 Servicemen's Act that gives preferential treatment to military personnel on civil service tests for police officers. That is very controversial, but I believe I have family members that serve. I have family members that are employed with the city of Cleveland with public service. But I feel that with all these incidences escalating and the militaristic style of, say, policing, I don't feel that someone that's been in a war zone should give or should have preferential treatment, say, with a 5 or 6 point gap for taking a test to be a police officer.
All right, well, let's check in with our resident psychiatrist about that specifically, Peter. I mean, not every soldier who comes from a war zone is screwed up mentally.
No, not at all. But I think his point was that preferential treatment might bring in people who weren't as gifted as other people who had taken the test.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his point?
Well, he is simply saying that people in the military are given a leg up on other people who want to become police officers, and that he believes that that may be the wrong thing to do.
This is not a question I've ever tried to answer, George, but in my own mind, I certainly believe that people who have had military training, especially if it's been checked, probably have some additional preparation and background for police work, but we're getting a bit out of my expertise.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Peter. If somebody came to you straight out of the military from Iraq or Afghanistan and they spent a couple years there, could you tell if they had PTSD or not?
I think that if you talked for a long time with somebody, spent some time with them, you could probably get some idea about what their vulnerabilities were. We don't have any magic as therapists or psychiatrists or psychologists giving tests, but certainly you can often get a sense of, you know, who is distressed and who isn't. And that's not even been the problem, George, because, I mean, like, if you look at Hassan, the whole Fort Hood shooter, everybody around him knew the man was a deep sympathizer with terrorists, and B, was probably losing his mind because he was talking about it in public. It isn't so much testing people, it's actually responding to the obvious signs that we so often have been missing again and again, including in the area I know best, which are the school shooters. I mean, they've been through the mental health system. They've been studied, almost all of them. Many of them on drugs at the time.
All on drugs, Peter. You're absolutely right. Peter, thank you for spending this half hour with us during this breaking story in this most unfortunate evening. We'll be back in a moment with more on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, our regular programming that we had in store for you will be obviously rescheduled at a later date. As we continue to cover the story in Dallas, Texas, 5 police officers now shot to death, and it's reported that 3 people in custody and that the 4th person, another shooter, may have killed himself or injured himself as we check in on that. We'll be back in a moment with more on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you as we continue to monitor the situation in Dallas, Texas. 5 police officers have been killed. three suspects in custody. A fourth we shall find out by going now live to Taylor Millard with iHeart's 24/7 news operation. And Taylor, any more confirmation on that sniper?
All we know is that he's down. There's no other information that's being released on what may have happened to this sniper who was holed up inside the parking garage at El Centro College. One thing which is true is it's a lot more calm in that area than it was for most of the evening as police tried to negotiate with this guy who ended up doing shootings at some point, two officers, which left five dead and six others wounded. One other thing that has been announced is that the people who organized the protest march, which went through downtown Dallas and where the shots were fired at the very end of it, they have an 11 o'clock news conference, 11 o'clock central news conference planned to show support for the murdered police officers. This really shouldn't be surprising, as Dallas police do have a pretty decent relationship with the black community here in Dallas. It's obviously not perfect. There's obviously strain from time to time, but it shouldn't be surprising to see that the protest organizers are sitting there saying, hey, we want to have a news conference. We want to sit there and we want to say, listen, you know, we're going to support these police, because the majority of Dallas police officers are good and are respected and are held in high regard here in Dallas.
And Taylor, I'm told that most of the officers who were at this peaceful protest tonight, some of whom might have been shot or killed, were very sympathetic to the protesters.
I do know that there were, you know, officers who were taking pictures with some of the protesters who, you know, were sitting there and were standing there and had no problem with talking to protesters. One of the things that, you know, I really remembered a couple of days ago, I happened to be leaving my car at a location and walking down the street, and a police officer who was sitting in a vehicle, you know, didn't know me from Adam, you know, waved to me, you know, to say, you know, hey, we see you, we see your car, we see you walking, you know, good to see you, be safe. You know, so I think that's also something that's important, is that, you know, people have a lot of respect for police here in, you know, North Texas. Obviously, it's not perfect. You know, there are going to be people, you know, there are going to be incidents where people get unhappy and don't like what the police do. But for the most part, everybody gets along.
Taylor, as soon as you find out more about that fourth suspect, the would-be sniper in the garage, let us know, okay?
I will, as soon as I find out. I can tell you this, is that according to the National Law Enforcement Association Officers Memorial Fund, this is the worst attack on law enforcement since September 11th.
Yeah, I would believe that. And in terms of an individual sniper-type attack, this is the biggest by far. Mike in Louisville, Kentucky, let's get you in here, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good, thanks. Under circumstances, okay.
Yeah, I understand. I was a police officer. I just actually retired.
Oh, my God.
21 years of service. I used to listen to you every night. I was a sergeant on third shift, so I used to listen to you for years. First-time caller.
What a time to call, Michael, huh?
Yeah, it's just, I'm speechless. You know, I've been sitting here thinking, what am I going to say? You know,
well, you know, I've always wondered, I mean, you guys are there for us. You're in uniform. You're an easy target from afar. And it happened tonight.
Right. And, you know, I work the big city. There's almost a million people here in Louisville. And the ratings just came out, and it's the 15th deadliest city in cities in America, which here is very alarming. But it's, you know, it's just grown leaps and bounds. And I actually retired out of a country community about 2 hours south of Louisville, and just the world of difference, a lot more respect for the police down there. These guys got it hard, man. It's a tough job. People don't realize it. There's people of other nationalities that want to taunt you, you know, you just want to see this type of person go to jail. No, I'm putting you in jail because you broke the law.
Right.
It doesn't have anything to do with race, sex, religion, okay? You broke the law, and you're going to jail. This is pure planned attack on police officers. I mean, it's cut and dry. They were there to protest a shooting that didn't even affect Texas, didn't even affect Dallas. And it was directed towards the police. There's no doubt about it. It was very well planned out. All we can do is just pray for America, man. We're in bad shape.
We are. Michael, let me ask you a question. I'm convinced that a police officer does not wake up in the morning saying, I can't wait to go out there and shoot somebody to death.
No.
What happens? Right. What happens to them when they're on the scene and these episodes occur where, in some cases, they've been overzealous? I keep citing the case where the guy jumped out of his car, ran away, officer chased him down and shot him and killed him in the back. What happens to the mindset of an officer in that kind of a situation? Why did they do that?
You know, we don't know. You know, and I'm not first to judge. I'm the type of person, if I'm not there, I'm not in it. I want to see the facts. I want to see the evidence.
Sure, but something happens. I don't know what it is, but something happens.
That triggers that.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I can honestly say I've been shot at. I have been in a shootout. I never pulled my gun unless I intended using it. You know, I don't know what the answer is other than to comply, to comply, to comply. If you comply, everybody's life continues. When you start fighting officers, when you have weapons on you, bad things happen. I'm not saying the police are always right. I'm not here to say that police are always wrong either. But let's look at the shooting situations. There were struggles. They didn't comply with the officer's commands. Things go bad. And it's horrible. It's horrible. This whole country's, you know, and it's a stressful job, guys.
Yeah, it is. You know, even if somebody is holding a toy gun and they aim it at an officer, not smart.
Let me tell you, I got a juvenile 2 years ago at a local Walmart store, patted him down, felt what appeared to be a gun, pulled it out. It was a squirt gun. They popped the orange cap off the end and wrapped the whole gun in black electric.
And how do you like, and you don't know that. If this is being pointed at you, you've got a split second to make up your mind.
That's it. And I explained to him and I explained to his parents, this is what I got off your child. Okay, this boy points it at me. My reaction is to protect myself. Now, I've got a dead African-American teenager here. I'm on the news, and I'm pointed as a bad guy because I think it's a gun. And she saw my point. She said, you know what? You're absolutely right, and I will deal with him when I get home.
Yep.
And what cities was it, real quick, George? Two cities, major cities. I'm thinking Phoenix, and there was another city that put a news reporter and a rights activist through the shoot, don't shoot scenarios. The same training that we all go through as law enforcement officers. Both of them failed it. Both of them shot unarmed men because they thought. And one news reporter and one black activist said, he got in my personal space. You can't shoot someone because they're in your personal space. Well, I freaked out. You can't freak out. You just killed two innocent people.
Yeah, that's
unarmed
exactly
people.
Right.
Don't judge us. Put yourself in our shoes. Look at the big picture. Within 4 hours, there were two different total different videos that surfaced.
Wasn't that weird?
Very weird.
Yeah, very
so
strange.
We're not, you know, people are not getting the full picture. Okay, they're releasing what people want to, what they think people want to see, and not the truth. You have to seek the truth, and you have to seek the whole thing, what actually occurred. In the second video, gun. That's the way I'm trained. If I'm struggling with someone, there's a gun. I'm going to shout, gun.
Well,
gun.
Same thing in Ferguson, Missouri, Mike. Don't reach for an officer's gun. Stay away. Keep your hands up and be done. A tense situation. Mike, thank you. You stay safe. Thank you for serving. Robert Morningstar, of course, a Coast to Coast guest, is a psychotherapist in New York City. Robert, oh, what a night this has been, my friend.
You know, I'm looking at this situation, and it has all the hallmarks of a very carefully staged military psyop operation. and the three shooters coordinating their fire in triangulation. That's another report that's come over the airwaves, that this was really a concerted effort, very well coordinated. And I believe that, as the officer said, the media is playing up an agenda. He didn't say this, but he says that we're being manipulated. And what I see is that our emotions are being manipulated more than our thoughts. And this is something that's beyond the pale. This afternoon, I was on, at noon, I was on the Gary Knoll program, ironically discussing the death of Officer J.D. Tippit.
I remember that, yeah, in Dallas, of all places.
Dallas. And then to have this happen tonight, what I see is that the evils that were loosed upon our society by the JFK assassination and the lies, the perpetual lies that have flowed ever after, have unleashed horrible demonic forces on our society, and this is coming full circle. What we see happening here today is intimately and directly connected to the unresolved murder of the three assassinations of President Kennedy, Officer Tippit, and Oswald. They were all assassinated. And the three assassins playing today is a very powerful symbol that's intimately associated with secret societies.
Well, so, you know, we don't know exactly yet, Robert, who they are, but it has the makings of something somewhat organized. Yeah. Obviously, they were good sharpshooters. That makes you suspect just like that. Right. They had the weaponry to get this job done. That makes you suspect. We'll find out more, hopefully, in the next day or two. But if it is shown and proven that they came from some kind of psyops program, whoever might be behind it, is that something we as Americans need to worry about for future episodes?
Sure. Listen, I saw a photograph of one of the suspects that the Dallas police put out. And I said to myself, this guy could be a self-radicalized adherent of ISIS. It's not that clear cut that it's just a black and white racial incident. There are forces that are exploiting psychologies, the psychologies of nations, and they know how to exacerbate a bad situation. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the end we find out that this group was a self-radicalized group.
As a psychotherapist, how much can people take, Robert? People that are in different cities right now listening to this broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, Detroit, Michigan, St. Louis, how much can they take?
It's up to the individual. Some people don't have a great capacity, and other people have a deeper core. But what I would say to everyone is be careful of not letting your emotions run wild. This is a very powerful form of psychological stimulation and manipulation. And so hold on to your center. Don't let your emotions boil over. Don't lash out and blame anyone until we know the facts. However, I have to say that this coming at this moment, and the date, 772016, numerologically, the secret societies play these games using dates and it's kind of it's ritual murder that's going on, and we do have to be aware that you may not believe in these things, but the people that adhere to them, they believe in them, and those beliefs spur people to action, and sometimes terrible, violent action.
Well, I hope the three in custody, Robert, are singing songs to the police and giving them the information they need, huh?
Well, yes. I'm very surprised that they have surrendered. Really.
Yeah, because it's apparently the fourth one might have shot himself. We're working on getting that information now from our correspondent out that way. But you're right. You would never think that in this kind of planned episode that they would be taken alive, that they would either kill themselves or get shot.
Right. The other part of it is that it seems intentionally, it was intended to taint and disrupt a peaceful demonstrations.
Yes, you're right.
Everything that I heard earlier about the interactions that were going on between the Dallas police and the demonstration, it was peaceful.
Sympathetic.
Sympathetic, exactly. And so it seems to me that this group went there intentionally to break up that harmony or that sense of cooperation and harmony. So that's another place where we have to be careful. A couple of weeks ago, someone broke into, they hacked into the leader of the Black Lives Matter movement, and they downloaded a whole bunch of files referring to something called the Summer of Chaos. And it seems that really radical activists are hell-bent on disrupting not only the Republican convention, but the Democratic convention as well, in order to create civil strife and disorder, in the hope of inflaming the situation toward what they believe is a revolution. So all of us have to hold our seats, hold our composure, think clearly and rationally, and not be lured into just rabble-rousing. It's a very dangerous time.
Is this a prelude of things to come?
Things that they will attempt. Yes, it's a prelude of things that are on the back burner, hoping to create such a chaotic situation socially that it will impose even more strictures on our freedoms. And that's the way, honestly, I have seen communist revolutions unfold across the world for more than 50 years. And they always have the same hallmark: create a martyr, create a crisis, exploit the crisis. As a matter of fact, I recommend everyone to look at G. Edward Griffin's interview with Yuri Bezmenov and how he describes the subversion of countries. First, demoralize, then destabilize, and then impose the new order.
How would the Chinese handle this, Robert?
Oh, they would handle it rather horribly. The Chinese are doing such horrible things to their own people that you and I should have a show on that alone. It's a criminal organization that's...
But they would not put up with what happened tonight in Dallas.
No, they just go in and wipe out everybody.
They take them all out in the process. Robert, thanks for being on this program, this edition, as we continue to follow the very sad story of five Dallas police officers and transit officers have been killed, six wounded, and what can I say? We're going to come back right after the top of the hour and continue with some special guests and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM.